Praise God. Well, we're still teaching on biblical mental health. I'm not sure if this will be the last one on this or not, but it's a thing I've really been going. I hadn't ever really ministered on this subject before, like done like this. And so I've just been going along as the Lord gives me steps along in this. I had scripture things that I put down, but I didn't know how what all was going to fit and how he wanted to do it. Because really, you can take same scripture and really minister to different areas. It's truth. I mean, it's still the same principle, but emphasizing it into a certain area that of our life. One of the things we're going to do tonight, we're going to deal with the area that Lord spoke to me about. Especially, we're dealing with mental health as we want to put the mind of Christ on, and we want to think like God thinks. And one of the things we want to look at is a great thing that really helped me out immensely was when, and I've said this many times, when I first got born again, the Lord told me that he was going to use my military training and things of how to walk by faith. And it's really important because this is a life that we walk and we live. Faith is not something you have just to accomplish a certain thing. You know, most people like they pull their faith out when they want to have something or they want to. It's not a life walk. For a lot of people, it's not. It's one of the things I was reading. Christopher Alam, Mom and I have been supporting him for years, and he sent out his thing, a ministry. But one of the things he talked about, he said, in dealing in the areas of most Christians, is the fact that most Christians are living their lives really by the natural. They live them by the natural senses. They're living by what they see, feel, touch, taste, and hear. And that's basically where most of their life is applied to. And there's one thing you're going to do with that. If you're living mostly that, you're going to probably be more geared toward trying to live a life of comfort and have stuff than you are fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. And so it's one thing is when you get over in the spirit, because to walk by faith is spiritual, because you're walking in the unseen realm. You're believing things that you cannot see. We're believing in a God that we can't see. We can't see him, but we believe he exists. He's true. In other words, we believe what the word says about him and what the word says is so. So we just, that's just the place that we walk and live, you know, and that's where we are. And we want to apply that to our life, not to just an areas of our life. We want to have it so the whole thing's working. And I found out the more I've learned to do that, the more when things arise, you naturally walk into the area, you're walking in the area of faith. You're not trying to drum something up. Right. You know, it's just what you do. It's just the norm. Something comes up and it's just normal to my faith is set. Why? We've been walking by faith. It's not a new thing. It's not like, okay, now this happened. We got to believe God for healing. Say, I'm sorry. We're walking in that every day. We're using our faith every day. We're walking along every day. And that's what we want to do. So is in looking at this, one of the things is putting on this mind. We need to do this. To be successful in Christianity, we have to do something that Paul taught, is putting on the mind of a soldier. And it's real. We need to understand this. The faith walk is a deliberate walk. It is contrary to what's in the natural. And it is number one, if we would have a comparison of civilian life and military life, we could compare it to this. Civilian life is the life of the world. And we would take the other side, because why? The military life is a disciplined life. The life of the world is not. It's not a you're dominated by your senses. You're dominated and ruled by those things. And so those are the things that you're always walking in and always doing. And so that doesn't mean you and I all live in this world. There's things naturally we have to do as living in this world, but we don't have to let those things be dominant to us. You know, the scriptures talk about this, about a person whose God is their belly. In other words, we all eat, don't we? But you know what? You can make your natural things of eating and what you need. I see Christians do it all the time. Their rest and their physical needs that they have are dominate over everything. Well, I can't do this, or I can't go there because I need to rest. I'm going to work. I need this to that. I need all of these things are said to the natural. They don't really have any life of sacrificial at all. The only thing they sacrifice to the God of the flesh. That's what it's sacrificed to. And so, we need to understand this. And, Christopher Long talked about that as people, you know, looking at a life of ease and that things. And well, the Christian life is not that. You know, when Jesus said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Well, that's what people hate to do. You know, if I go out here and reach out to people and they might not like me, they might not like my message. They might. So if they don't, well, I don't want to be anybody upset at me, you know. And then they turn over to the, it's called the love thing, which is not love at all. It is this, it's just self thing of, you know, well, I want to walk in love with them. No, you don't. This is about your cowardice. You know, I mean, just think about what Jesus Christ himself said. You don't confess me before men. I won't confess you before the Father. That's marked out in most Bibles. That you won't find that script. That was torn out. That don't make the new translations. Let's get that one out of there. And so they don't do, but we want to talk about it. We're going to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we want to talk about this thing because it really does. If you're going to walk and not, if you're not going to walk, say, by your senses and let you just follow your senses, it's going to really require a discipline in life to do that. See, it's one thing as I found is I had to really develop a discipline about my life and things. And the Lord taught me, see, it's one of the things, you know, when I went into the military, and see, this is one of the things that we're reaching out to people. We want to bring them to Christ, but we don't take them to basic training. We just leave them to themselves. Yeah. If a person doesn't want to go to basic training, they're not going to develop. We need to understand this. We don't do this today. It's not like we consider people about mentoring. Because what most people want in a mentor, they want a friend. They need a drill sergeant. They don't need a friend. And you need to understand that. They need somebody who'll talk to them straight. And people need to understand that. That's something that we have to have. We got to have. See, this is one thing. When I was in the service, like my dad and mom were like that. You know, my dad and mom were, well, they loved us, but I mean, mom and dad would tell you straight. I mean, it wasn't something, you know, you came home from school and you were in trouble. It was your fault. It wasn't, well, what did they do to you? Say they may have done something to you, but what did you do? You know, they wanted to find out where it was. That isn't the way it is today. Today it's not like that. Everybody else is at fault. It's everybody else's trouble. See, when I was in the military and that's what they would do is they would train you. And this is one thing they train you. When you'd go into basic training, if you messed up, everybody paid for it. Well, you learned not to mess up. Oh yeah. You learned quick. You got to live with the rest of the people who won't kill you. And if they did get the chance, they might. And see, people need to know that. You see, We don't, civilian life, the church is a civilian life. Yeah. And it's a place that the person who messed up the most gets a special ministry to them. But you know, people don't realize it. I just want to tell you, there's people in the body of Christ don't get healed and delivered because of people we allow in the church. Oh yes, it kills the anointing. People play their games and play their stuff. And they don't know. See, you're allowed to. See, people don't have to have care and love for the rest of them or anything. You know, the body, the place that's supposed to, everybody has their part to share that makes this thing work. When most of the body ain't got nothing to share to anything. They ain't got no power, anointing to share to nothing. Therefore, the body becomes limited. See, people need to, but see, I was trained from the time. See, I was in the military and I was trained. You're responsible. And you have a job and your job, you don't do your job. Everybody, it messes up and hurts everybody. We'd rather have you dead than with us. The church isn't. No, we want to drag all the dead bodies with us. That's the church today. They don't say to them, hey, strap up. You need to take your part. You need to do that. We don't develop people into that. We have today. You have trouble making it, somebody else makes it for you. You know, Jesus, I realize, Jesus saved me. I couldn't save myself, and he saved me. But he has great expectations of what it ought to do. And so we need to get into this thinking and into this mind. We have this in Ephesians 6 chapter, starting at verse 13, it says this, and really this is military talk here. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now I want you to see what it says. He didn't say, God's gonna make you strong. God, and he said, no, you be strong. How do you be strong? Well, you be strong because you be getting into the words, and you yield to it by faith. It don't just happen to you. You be strong. Remember with God and Joshua? You be strong and courageous. You. There's a choice. It's number one. People are, we have such weakness in the church. That, you know, the Bible says be strong and courageous. Well, to me, I'm just going to be strong and courageous. That's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to be strong and courageous. Say, well, why'd you say that? Well, I sure didn't say it because I felt like it. I don't feel strong and courageous. But you ain't ever going to accomplish nothing going around with this wimp junk that's going on. It never going to amount to anything.
That's true.
So he says, you be strong in the Lord, what in the power of his might. Then he says this is to us, the saints. It tells us, Paul's writing to Christians, and he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Who puts on the armor? There we go again. You see, I see the military, they train me. But when they put you out there, you know what they do? They give you the equipment. You got to put it on. They train you to use it. But they don't do it for, they don't come out there every time something goes on. When I was in Nam, they didn't run there. Now, hey, Ed, don't forget your rifle. Hey, Ed, your flak jacket. You know, they went to mama's to the 27-year-old kid. No. Hey, I was basic training 17 years old and they treated me like I was 47. They didn't care. Age mattered not. This is about raising up soldiers. These are, you know what? And the soldiers in the body of Christ are the survivors. They're the ones that make it. They're the ones on top. The other people down there, they're called cannon fodder. That's, you know, well, they are. They don't realize they're targets for the enemy. They become that. But they do it. People don't take, because they teach false gospel. You know, well, you're saved now. God's going to look after you. God's in control of everything. Thank God they didn't tell me that in the service. Like, oh, don't worry. Everything's under control. Say, man, get into the shooting and stuff. And it don't look like any control's going on. But the whole thing of it is, there's a mindset that you have to have that causes you to be able to survive and be able to think straight when all this stuff happens.
Amen.
Number one, you're dealing with the devil. We find out the devil. What is he? Jesus told us this guy what he is. He steals, kills, and destroys. That's his mission.
Yep.
He's an enemy. It's like going to war, whether the United States fought Germany or Japan or whatever it was or whatever. You're talking about an enemy, and what they're out to destroy you. This is what they're going to do. Most of the church world don't even believe a lot about demons today and even going on. The devil is slowly killing them. The devil's slowly bringing in his destruction. And people really haven't got a clue. Here they use the term is used in the wilds, and I like to think he's the wilds. I like to think of like it's the wild. He's wild. But demons are not unintelligent. They're very smart in accomplishing their goals. They know what their job is. If you went into the spirit realm, there's no demons that are the jack of all trades and the master of none. They're all specialized in the things that they do. They specialize. Well, it's just like that. In the body of Christ, we should be specialized.
Amen.
And we're not. We aren't even good jack of all trades and masters of none. You know, we aren't even good at that in the body of Christ. People don't even know what am I supposed to do? How do I fit? They have no clue. They're waiting for somebody to tell them, but somebody, you know, can't tell them. They have to find out. You have to find out what God's working in you, you know. You got to come back what God's got you doing and how you hook up. So, but he said to put on the whole armor of God, because he says this: we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. What we're dealing with, and we the demons operating through people. We get so focused on the person and don't realize the demonic powers behind them is why they're talking. Christians who are under the sway of demonic powers, the demonic powers guide their teaching and whatever the things that they believe. We got in the church world, we have people who are not born again, who are teachers, Satan's teachers in the church, teaching doctrines and philosophies in the church, and the church is swallowing them and eating them. These things are going on. Understand, these are the things. That's why you can't walk by what you see, feel. No, what you're going to end up doing is warring against people all the time. Amen. It's going to get a constant war against people. No, you're dealing with demonic forces. Understand where they come from, what is going on. Understand the people, the nature of the things they're yielded to and listening to, that causes them to fall into the classes and the stuff they're in. But now this armor, so he says in verse 13, to take up the whole armor of God for this purpose, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now this is what's important. Here he tells us, what do? We take up the whole armor so we're able to stand in the evil day. And then he makes this statement. And then having done everything, you stand. Here's where you have to be trained and you have to learn this. When I've done everything that I know that the Word tells me to do, you know what I do? You just stand. You don't try to do anything else. This is where most Christians fail. They do everything, and it seems the devil's still carrying on, so they come up with another plan. And right there, you're on the road to failure. No, when you've done everything, you just stand. That's where you are. The Word will uphold you. The Word will uphold you. When you've done it all. See, I've learned this. Hey, just like in the area, I teach concerning the areas of healing. This is where my great success is coming healed. I do everything I know to do, and then I just stand. And it works every time. It works. I just stand. Say, boy, it don't look like it's working. I don't care. I've done everything that it says to do. I can stand. I'm going to be all right. This is what happens. People do what they think they know to do, and it don't seem like it's changing. And they go do something natural. They don't believe it's going to work. They don't think it's going to work. No, no, we got to do something. We got to do something else. Got to get plan B in going here. We got to get it. And what happens? They move further away. That's what the devil. See, you learn to stand. That's what they teach you in the military. You follow out your training. You go this. They teach you how to hold something. You go there. You don't, well, they're shooting at us a lot. Let's not stay anymore. Let's go do something. See, it's number one is if you're going to be driven by your feelings and emotions and things and stuff like that, it's going to be very hard for you to stand. It's going to be very difficult. See, in the military, you have to learn to do that. See, that's what they trained us. They kept putting you in conditions that were difficult all the time, putting you in difficult conditions constantly. It isn't like, you know, people today, you know, we've had all this hot weather and, you know, people act like you want to die. We had this kind of weather when I was a kid. We didn't have air conditioning and we didn't die. Why? Because we had enough sense not to sit in a house that was 200 degrees and go walk out the door and sit under a tree, you moron. People had no intelligence today. People ain't smart enough to take care of themselves. They don't know how to do it. And they're taught by people. You know, you don't do anything. We'll get the government ought to do this for us. So this is that. This is what we do. Or don't worry, just ask the church. They'll come down and do it because you won't do it. We'll do that, okay? And see, this is what people do. But you know, see, they taught us you get into situations and they're not good. And you know, like, I've thought over the years, you know, it's like people, and people still do it. I hear people, oh man, go outside and you get, you know, getting around working. And when it's hot outside, you got to get outside, you're working, you're sweating and stuff. And people complain about that. And I think about, is that the hardest thing in your life, that some sweating bothers you, you lame brain idiot? You think about it. We are nothing but a bunch of, I mean, you used to call people like that cakes. I don't know what you call them today because, you know, I don't know what they call them today because their people can't take nothing. See, oh man, see, I'm always on, something's uncomfortable. I have to have, you know, within a 4-degree temperature and I gotta have the, I can't have anything and I have a, and we, Church of Jesus Christ is loaded with it. It's loaded with it. You know, we turn churches into this thing. You go in and they have coffee waiting for you to come into church because you can sit down and have your coffee while you're, they come in that, they put theater seats in so you can put your stuff and all this kind of stuff in here and you can sit. This is what churches have become. And they went, hey, how can we make you comfortable so you can fall asleep and not listen? Anyhow, you won't want to, my stories ain't that good anyhow. See, people are looking for comfort and they don't realize. When I was in basic training, that's not what they did to you. They taught us, you know, you might gonna go to war.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Christians, and we need to tell them, don't think your life's going to get all cute. You accept Jesus, this is going to be a battle. This is going to be a battle. And you can't kiss up to everybody. But we don't tell them that. You know? We say to them, God loves you. Well, there's a truth to that, but not the truth that we preach. Because the word love means nothing today. Nobody, you ask anybody about, ask a sinner what love is. Yeah. It won't be what you're thinking.
Nope.
That's why I never tell a person God loves them. I explain what God's done for them. That has to do with what his love is. You know, it's very interesting because we have this word love, you know, that is used and people use it. But a lot of languages, they don't have like the Greek language has like 4 different words that can be translated love. They have different meanings, these different words. Like you go over in Hindi and they don't even have a word for love because you have to sort of explain it. We ought to do that in America because see, people love ice cream. They love their car.
Yeah.
And then you say, I love Jesus. Yeah, right. That there really puts it out there clear. I mean, think about it. See, I learned this, and it was one thing, good teaching at Rhema that Cooper Beatty taught us. He said, when you're talking or you're trying to teach somebody something, you explain what you're trying to teach them. You don't just throw a word out there. Today, you can't throw Bible words out to people. They have no clue what you're talking about. They can go to church, they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know the Bible words. I'm serious. You have to explain to people. And so the Bible gives us things of explanation to people. That's what you have to learn to do. Because we're to bring somebody today, when you mention sin, there ain't no sin. There ain't no sin no more, you know? And so the Bible says the law is the schoolmaster to bring people to Christ. So in their day, see, people worshiped a lot of different gods and stuff. They explained to people what God and sin was. We need to do that to people. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because why? We're dealing with the devil. And we're out here, you know, and you're wanting to head in God's direction and you want to take people in God's direction. But when you want to do it, there's going to be loads of devils are going to gang up. They're going to want to do it. And what you have to do is as we go on and look at you put on us so you can stand. It says, stand therefore. He said, having girded your loins with truth. So, well, what's the truth? It's the word. You're going to find out all this armor is about the word. Yeah, the whole thing is about the word. Gird your loins with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Number one, you're going to have to know who you are. Because the devil's going to want to talk you right out of that, and people are going to try to talk. Religion will always try to talk you out of righteousness, you know. But you got to know who and what you are to stand against the devil. The devil will always try to get you, he'll talk about you, your human frailty, to try to get you to back off. He'll bring up your mistakes of the past and the things of the past. He'll, if you don't know, I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, I am righteous. I'm not trying to become it. I am. And see, you got to have this confidence. Most Christians don't have that confidence. They get in, the devil will quickly talk them into it. He'll let somebody come along that they know and tell them about themselves and things. I always get this kick out of this. I've always loved this when sinners would come along to me and, you know, they're going to tell you what it is that a Christian should be doing. I always get them backed into a corner. I say, oh, you're a Christian then, because if you know all about this, then you must be well studied in this and you know what a Christian ought to do. I say, well, in other words, if you know what to do and you are not doing it, therefore you're into sin up to your neck. Well, then they don't want to discuss that too much. They like to get away from that. Say, oh. So you remember, God hears you talking. Well, we gird our loins with you. We put the breastplate of niceness. Now look what he said, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we do this as people talk about, you know, the gospel of peace. We're preaching the gospel to peace, but we as Christians ourselves, we got to turn around our gospels. We got to be at rest about our gospel. A lot of people aren't. A lot of Christians aren't at rest about their gospel and that stuff. You know, we need to have the idea. We're telling people the gospel. We're telling them we're supposed to be taking them the truth, the word. But one of the things you're going to have to know what it is the truth. Lots of times people have a gospel that they preach, but it is not God's gospel. It's not the gospel of the word. People don't get saved just because, you know, somebody comes along and says, well, you know, God loves you and, you know, and you need Jesus and you need, yeah, well, that is all true. But what about Jesus? What are we explaining to them about Jesus? What did he do? What is it? What's the purpose of what he did? See, we need to know. We need to explain to people because people have to come to faith. Faith is by hearing and hearing by the word. So they can't come to faith by me just making, cliche statements. That's not what we do. We take them and we tell them. You know, it's one thing is, we like things quick. Most people you're going to get to follow Jesus, it ain't going to be quick. It ain't going to be quick. Loads of people, I've known this because I did street ministry, loads of people would pray with you just to get you to go and leave them alone. They ain't going to go along with it. They're not. Is number one, are they going to get into this thing? Do we ask them and say them, talk to them about following Jesus? Most of the time we don't. We just, if they'll pray the prayer, then they'll change, they'll go ahead. No, that ain't the way it works. It's counting the cost. Telling them, you know, God has something for you. It was like with me. The Holy Spirit dealt with me. He dealt with me at the cost. Wasn't something that was going to be, you know, that, you know, Ed was going to get saved. Everything's going to be all right. And you just go off and do whatever you were doing. No, there's a cost. There's a following. And understand this. There's a commitment. We're coming into a union with Christ. And the Bible illustrates the union with Christ like a marriage.
Yes.
Well, do you just get married off the spur of the moment? That's the way we treat salvation. Just get saved off the spur of the moment and just, you know, and me and Jesus are going to be really, really close and walk together. This is why it's like planting seed. How much seed do we plant in a person? What do? We got to plant some seed in them. Faith comes by hearing. They're going to have to be able to respond. And so we want to do that. Is letting people know. See, it's like one of the things that we need to do this as we're out here, this gospel thing. Now, he makes this statement. I want you to, verse 16, he says, above all. Now, there's something above all in this armor. There's something, it's above all. Now, the rest of it, he says, it's dealing with the Word of God, getting the Word of God in you. Getting the Word of God in you, you're going to find this ministering to people. You're going to need more than have gone to a class and they tell you how to witness. You need to know the Bible. Everybody out here is different. What you need to minister to people,
right.
Canned things don't get it. Canned stuff don't get it. Why? Because the people are different. The reasons why people and what's wrong with people. You know, just from a natural standpoint, I found this just ministering healing over the years. People have the same symptoms and can have different diseases.
Yeah.
Well, and then spiritually, it's the same way. People out here look like, you know, it's the same thing. It's not at all. There's some people you're going to have to deal with completely different. It's completely what's going to reach them. That's why as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It's not as many as went to class. It's as many as are led by the Spirit. In other words, always deal with people looking from your heart. Out here in that, spiritually, what's going on? Spiritually, what's happening? Not physically. Spiritually. I found this. Sometimes I get around people, I just know things. I know things about them and don't even know the person, but I just know things. You need to know. Listen to the inside. You can know things about that individual. This is one of the things is due with ministry. This is why, this what we put on, this stuff is about our protection and the stuff that we need to do our job. This is what we need. Because why, you're out here and the enemy's out here, and we're walking around in a world where he's God. And he ain't sleeping. He ain't sleeping. He never sleep. He's like God. He don't sleep nor slumber. And see, our inner man, stay tuned on the inside. You know, let me tell you a thing. Shall I tell you something about witnessing? I learned from Kenneth Hagin talked about this. He talked about it. And Randall Greer, he spoke along these lines, but he was real clear on the thing. He went to a church to minister. He was going to this church. And anyhow, going there, he's going to hold some meetings. But the pastor came and asked him if he would talk to, they have a group, an evangelistic group that goes out. And they weren't having, you know, real success at what they were doing. They weren't, you know, they're, you know, going out witnessing to people and stuff, but not really having success. See, there's some, I've been around people and they're going out, talk to a lot of people and doing things like that. But a lot of people ain't following Jesus. See, this whole thing, we're not interested in how many people we can get to pray. We're interested in how many people we get to follow Jesus. If they don't follow Jesus, the rest of it don't matter. And that's what they'll do. And here's one thing as I learned, and it really helped me going out in the areas with street ministry and stuff. Randy Greer said, he asked the Lord, he said, I'm not a street evangelist. He said, I don't go out and do this. He said, but, you know, what do I say to these people? He said, I'm good over here, my job and doing my thing, but I don't, what do I tell them? And he said, he prayed about praying. The Lord didn't say anything to him. And he said, it came time. He said, I was supposed to leave. And he said, the pastor was going to come to the hotel and pick me up. And he said, up to this time, he said, Lord hadn't said nothing. And he said, when it come time to leave the room, he said, I walked up, put my hand on the doorknob, and the Lord said, you tell them this. He tell them, 80% praying, 20% going. See, Brother Hagin had a thing like that. Shall I tell you why? God don't throw darts to reach people. God has specific people that he wants to send you to. There are people who are ready. There are people who are ready to have seed put in. And there are people who are not. And you know, I just want to say this to you. I learned this. If you go to people who aren't ready for you, you may push them away. And they're very hard to reach. See, as many as are led by the Spirit, witnessing is the same thing. Think about that. Spend time. God will show you where you need to go. I've watched that. People have great success doing it. You know, I would rather reach one person to become a follower of Christ than just go out and said something to 400 people. God knows people. Get yourself into this that God knows. Say, God, what do we need to do? What do I need to prepare for? You know, God may show you people, even places you need to be praying for specifically. The Apostle Paul had an idea where he was going to go preach, and the Spirit forbade him. Don't go there. See, Paul thought, yeah, hey, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to miss it. God said, no, no, no. God said, no, no, I want you to go over here. Understand that. See, we're doing, it's just like, if If witnessing to people, it can be done that way, then preaching can be done that way. I don't have to prepare or go get ready. I'm just going to get up and do it. You know, open your mouth and God will fill it. There's people believed that and said that stuff, and wasn't God that filled it. There was a lot of things said that was never supposed to be said. Now let me say about it, because one thing, you're going out there and it's number one with you. A lot of people do this. I've seen many groups go out in over time and witnessing and that stuff to people. And over time, they get sort of worn in it. They get worn. Well, it shouldn't do that with ministry. It shouldn't get worn. You shouldn't be going there. And it is because it's like, with going out and ministering, is being led by the Spirit is so important because, when I was down in Peru ministering, we were down there and it was really, evangelistic time, but I found this out. God continued with speaking to us about things to do. We weren't doing just what we wanted to do. There's a whole city. You got millions and millions and tens of millions of people. And we're not picking places. God's picking places. God's picking places. You know, we're going in the one day, we're going to walk in and there's this big market area and we were going to get down there. You know, we have books and things and stuff to hand out in Spanish and stuff like that. You know, Kenneth Hagin's books on the new birth and things like that. But we go down to walk into the area and we went down to walk in. And I just, inside of me, and I said to the guy that was with me and our interpreter, I said, I don't know why, but I said, I don't think we're supposed to just walk in there and start doing this. I said, I just don't feel right about this. I said, I don't know. And, from a natural standpoint, you think, well, we can go hand stuff out. We can do this. It's a really, and I said, let's pray a while before we do this to find. I said, there's something that we don't. So we just started praying. And so we're sitting there, we're praying and I look up and there's this guy about this tall come walking out between the building and turned down through. And I looked up and saw him and inside me and says, you need to talk to him. God had us waiting for that guy. That guy. See, we could have gone in and only say we were doing all this for Jesus and he'd have been, no, you did that. That wasn't for Jesus. Right. Jesus had a plan. Now look, that guy was the key. That day, we led loads and loads of people to Christ, and we didn't have to chase anybody around or do nothing. They all came to us. God did something that was so miraculous and so spectacular, but it wouldn't have happened without listening. And this is what you want to do. This guy come out, I walked down to him, started talking to him through the translator, found out he was sick. So I talked to him about Jesus. Now, a lot of them are Catholic and things. When you're talking about Jesus, at least the Catholics believe Jesus will heal. You know, it's the crazy Protestants, most of them, you're trying to get. And anyhow, I told him, I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure, I pray for him. He instantly got healed. Well, all of a sudden, there's two ladies sitting over here in their little market booth. And they said, come here. Tell us what you were telling him about Jesus. So we started talking about, all of a sudden, now here you are in a marketplace, and the people are leaving their stands, and they're coming up and gathering around us. What are you telling them? What are you and it's just good, and we're standing there, in the middle of this thing, and when you leave, you're like, we never initiated none of this. God showed us a guy, we obeyed the one guy. That was it. And hundreds of people gathered around us. Hundreds and hundreds of people. They want Jesus. It's like, what on earth? See, we need more supernatural. Amen. We need more super. We need more where there's identification that God is doing something, that it's not man's works. Because what happens is when things don't seem to work, we take that on ourselves. And after a while, say, well, I don't know about this, and I don't know. And we need to understand it. It's like up in Pomara, one guy I know up there, a minister and that stuff, and he told me, he said, we were out on the streets, and we led 100 people to Christ. I said, how many of them came to church? I don't know. Well, what good did any of that do? Nothing. None of them are going to get trained. None of them are going to grow up. None of them are going to be anything. Nobody's going to do nothing. Now we got more people out here that might even think they're Christian and aren't even a Christian. And now you've ruined them. We need to be careful about this stuff. See, I found this. The more a religious group teaches their people their doctrines, even though they're wrong, but teaches them that they're saved and they're okay, they're harder to reach. This is why you have to know, it's like as you're dealing with people out here, you can put something into them and it isn't right. This is why we put armor on the devil. The devil, you know, the devil don't want you to listen to God. Anything, he don't want you. You put on the armor of God. You're out here. You have the word on. You put it on. The Holy Ghost is going to talk to you through the word. That's what he's going to do. He's going to direct you. You learn to know him through the word. That's how you learn it. Things are verified. He's always going to tell you. He's going to lead you in line with the word and what the word says to do. He is going to have you do just crazy, stupid stuff. He's going to lead you in line with the word, and the word works. Sometimes you go out and you preach the gospel. You know, we would literally go out and preach to people. We'd go out and preach. You know, because why? Faith comes by hearing. We got to preach. You know, we don't just talk to person, hey, you know, you need Jesus. Let's say, let's pray a prayer. They ain't got enough to get any kind of faith in. Faith comes by hearing the word. People don't get saved, the Bible says, because of preaching. That's why they get saved. That's what scripture says. Preaching. That's why. Know the Bible. Know the word. Get the word in. Get yourself in that. The word, because listen what he says. It's above all, what are we supposed to do? Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, faith is a powerful, powerful thing. We need to understand this. This faith, you walk out there faith. See, you preach the word of faith. That's what we do. We preach the word of faith. Faith's powerful. And so you want to get that into your mind. We're preaching faith. We're going to preach people. We want to bring people to faith. We want to explain to them concerning faith what the word says for them to be saved. We don't want to announce it to them through a prayer. They might not mean a thing to them. See, God don't anoint people to preach if it's unnecessary. People get saved. And get that in your mind is the preaching of faith. God will get you. Like we take guys out in the street. They weren't called like maybe to teach like I was and that stuff. But get out there. They can witness. They can pray. And, you know the word. Know the word concerning salvation. What did God say? Seriously, people talk and say stuff. Did you ever think about it? Did you ever look in the word and see where Paul preached or whatever it did? He never started off, God loves you. You know, you don't find it. Now think about it. We've been trained in these things. But it's not what the scripture says. They preach to bring people to faith. One of the things to do is preach the goodness of God. It's not just saying God loves you. No, tell them God wants to heal you. That's the proof of love. The word don't produce nothing. That word love don't produce anything. But those words concerning healing, you get that person healed. He might think God might love him. Get into that thinking. Look what Paul and them did in their ministry. Healing was in the forefront of it. Healing was in the forefront of it. Jesus Christ, the healer. You'll find this in revivals. Any spirit-filled revival is filled with healing. Get that in yourself. What was Jesus' ministry? What did he do? The Bible says he went to teaching, preaching, and healing. That was his ministry, teaching, preaching, and healing. See, healing should always be the big thing. That is a manifestation of the love of God. We need manifestations of God's love, not just talk. Amen. I'm serious. We need that today. We need God will heal you. That's what he wants to do. Why? Now you're explaining the love of God to somebody. You're telling them this is what his love does. His love isn't, I really love you and I feel sorry for you. No, I love you. Let's get well. What do you think of that? Hey, God will deliver you. So you got problems in your life. You know, God will deliver you. That's what he does. And you know what? It's easy to love a guy like that. Isn't it?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Somebody just telling you nice things, you can get that anywhere. There's a people who pat you and pet you and then take your wallet. Telling you they love you. See, God, if we see scripture, you look at the book of Acts, the demonstration, it's called Acts of the Apostles. It's not talk, just speech of the apostles. Acts. It's what they did. We look through it, full of healing, isn't it? Full of deliverance. That's what it was. Amen. See, you preach this Jesus and you say he's good. Watch. Let's watch him do his good thing. Okay? He's going to do that. And see, and he will. I'm serious. He'll back you up. I never had that he wouldn't back me up. He'll always back you up. That's what he does. See, we lay hands on the sick. Especially you're going out here and you're going to people who are unsaved or people who are, say, nominal Christians. And maybe they even go to church stuff, but they're not really taught well or they don't know stuff. Lots of times those people are easy to get healed. And you know what? That really changes people when God actually touches them. It's, you know, it's more than just talk. And we need that because that's what God wants to do. And we want to have more of the book of Acts. That's why it is your expectation. This is one of the things that I really think from the areas of why God said he said to Randall Greer is number one is preparing ourselves to go. It isn't just the people out there. It's us too. It's both sides. God wants us to be effective so we can reach those people. He wants to work in us. Hallelujah. So, you know, don't feel bad though. You go and you tell the truth and somebody gets out a bag of rocks. You know, that may happen too. So that's, but here's one thing. If you don't learn to stand, that bother you. No matter if they turn you down, no matter what they say, you know, we're going to preach the gospel. For, you know, God puts us in a situation. Well, that's just what we're going to do. We're going to do that.
Amen.
See, one of the things is we're dealing right now here in America. I think God's spending more time right now trying to reach the church. Because you really ain't going to be effective toward the world till God can reach the church. Where are you going to take people to when they get saved? Can't take them to most churches. Where are you going to haul them off to? What do you think about it? They ain't there. I mean, where are you going to turn? They call, hey, there's much out here called church today and it ain't church. And see, we want to have places. We want people to actually be able to go somewhere to get built up, to sit down. You know, we have today, and really we have a lot of this stuff is concerning mentors and things like that people talk about. But you know, people need to go and sit down in churches that get teaching and being taught. They need to be taught the Word of God. You know, I never had to have a specific person that had to sit and talk to me. I never called and talked to Brother Hagin one time. I just kept listening to his teaching. But see, people get, we need to understand it. People get over in the natural and they have to have something they can see. See, people keep getting tied. What happened? People get tied to people, not to the Word. They get tied to people. See, we don't want to do that. We want to keep people as like, hey, okay, yeah, I can help. I've had people over the years and that stuff. I had a lady come to our church a long time back. And anyhow, she got over it. She's a Christian, but what she wasn't doing, you know, I was teaching and things really spoke to her. And she sent me an email about a thing, and I replied to her email, you know, God does it, gave me something, and I knew in a direction that she was going, and she was missing it. And I just gave her the answer. And then she went to this thing, and she said, I'd like you to be my mentor. And I said, well, then you're going to have to come to church. Well, this changes everything. You know, I want you to be my mentor if you will come to me and come down to Lancaster, right? If you'll come and do... I want you to mentor. No, that's not a mentor. Do you know the teachers, and you go for scripture, say the people follow the teacher don't follow the people.
That's right.
It's completely unbiblical. I wouldn't come here. You're going to go to another church. I ain't coming here. I'm not coming here. I wouldn't be your pastor. We need to understand that. God put ministries in. Pastors are in church. People are supposed to sit under a pastor. And if they're not, I ain't counseling them. I ain't going through it. Nobody else should be too, any Christians. They need to go sit under somebody and sit and learn and study. That's what they're supposed to do. In the world, you know, this is why in our education system's terrible. Nobody's committed to nothing or doing nothing or anything or nothing. And we're trying to educate the uneducated who can't get educated. People aren't submitted to anything. We need to tell people. I'll tell people all the time, you're not going to commit to going to church or something. Just, you know, forget this thing about you. And you got to submit yourself. God put these gifts in the church, but you don't need them. You don't need to be submitted to them. Only whenever I want them. You know, other than that, I'm sorry, it don't run that way. And we need to tell them, because if people want to grow up, see, there's a commitment to Christ.
That's right.
And we don't tell, this is why we don't tell people to confess Jesus as Lord. They don't want a Lord. We need to tell them, if you don't expect to go anywhere in this thing. Don't expect, you need somebody to rule over you. That's what I found out. Ed needed somebody to rule over him. Ed's, without it, I'm in trouble. Everybody wants to be in charge, yet their lives are a mess. They say, I want a mentor. You need a mentor because your life's a mess. And you want somebody else to fix your life. No, you have to be. You got to do something. You got to commit yourself. You need a Lord first, and I ain't the guy.
That's right.
I'm submitted to a Lord. And if you're not, we're running on two different things. We ain't hooking up. If a person wants to, they want to maintain their lordship, you can't do much to help them. You can't. They're gonna keep going on their way and tell them, here's what it is. You know? Jesus said, you don't confess me before men. I ain't gonna confess you before the Father. Oh, we don't tell them that. Oh, you're all okay. Everybody's good. Everybody's good. No? But see, this is part of training. You know, this is one thing when the Lord taught me. When I went in the military, you had to submit to those people. This is why, you know, we have here when Trump took over. You can't have homosexuals and men dressing like women. And stuff. You can't have that in a military. That, because what happens is the people, and that you're not an individual anymore in the military. You need to understand it. Good soldiers, you get out into combat. It's not about you anymore.
Amen.
It's not you.
That's right.
You're in there as a group, and this group is taught to do certain things, and you can't do it without the group. And you don't need some guy in a dress who he's only there because he's in a dress, and he wants to, I can be anything I want, and I can do this. I am sorry. That throws everything out. And you can't have it. And people need to know this. In the body of Christ, most of the body of Christ in America is not part of the body. They're not part of the body. They're doing, you know, what I want, what I'm hooked to, and what I desire. And it's like, no, we have to have a Lord. What does he want? Like, Christian, I believe the Lord's, Jesus is coming back soon. Well, if you did, you would not be living the way you are.
Amen.
Because it's written in the New Testament. John said, those who have this hope are purifying themselves. We know this. Majority of Christians don't believe Jesus is coming back because they ain't purifying themselves.
Amen.
We're walking in what we believe, and we're going after the Word. Why? Because we believe it's true. He's coming back, and we're trying to do something with ourselves. And you know what? We know that ain't true of most. If you really believe that you were going to meet Jesus, what would you do? Now think about it. What would you do? Would you just say, well, I'll tell you what, I got this, I got that. Yeah, well, you know, all this stuff here and everything else is important. You know, I don't think you have to believe this and I don't think you have to believe that. I'm okay. And I'm there's one thing, what you really believe is going to show up.
Amen.
It is. And so this is one of those things. Well, he said the shield was faith. In other words, first of all, this is why this is about the word. If most of all, the shield of faith is the idea of this. Faith comes by hearing. You got to know how to walk by faith. That's your protection. Your faith in the word of God is your protection. And above all, you need to have that. It's your protection. So you can judge about yourself. I mean, think about yourself as you've grown. What happens? How much time now do you go along and things come up and the first thing you think about is what the word says? See, this is about the shield of faith. This is about this. See, it becomes the shield. The word is becomes your answer. See, when I first started off, I worked at getting it so things would come along and I'd think like that. But you know what? It don't just happen to you. You got to work at it. It's just like they did in the service. We went out and did calisthenics and we went out and did all those kind of things. I mean, today in the military, we went out in the military. You know what we did? They got at you up in the morning. You didn't eat first. Eating wasn't the most important thing to start your day. The first thing to start your day was to get your fatigue pants on, a t-shirt and combat boots. We're going for a run. They didn't say like today, you get a pair of running shorts and put on your sneakers in the army and you go out and run. Why? When you go to battle, you don't have sneakers on.
That's right.
And you don't have shoes and you better know how to run. You may not need to do it. You got to move around and you don't get to put on a nice comfortable pair of sneakers. And you're there with a flak jacket on and you got all the kind of, you got gears and all kind of, you're carrying your weapon and a bunch of ammo on you and other stuff. And you know what? You don't pay no attention to none of that. They whip you into shape so you can go around and move in that stuff and you don't bother you. You aren't saying, it's not comfortable out here. You know, it's like, no, there's a battle going on. Most Christians don't even believe there's a battle going on. It's all about comfort. See, and this is why they want to change the military. Can you imagine that we give soldiers cards to carry, and if a sergeant is making it too uncomfortable for a soldier, he can give him the card which tells him he has to back off some. Hey, I'll tell you what, when I was in Vietnam, we used to get the Viet Cong those cards all the time. Said, here, you guys are getting too tough on us. Would you take that? You made me get out of bed early this morning and fired that rocket over here. Did you know I was sleeping? Our military today has become a mess. And they wonder why people go off to war and can't take it.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why. They taught us about hardship. And you know what? It is hard. You know, when I started walking in healing, it was hardship. Because it is. It was tough. Because you're outside in a thing you never walk. You ain't walking. I'm walking a place where I can see what I'm doing. I can't see. I'm just believing the Bible says is true, but naturally don't look true at all. And everything that I see, touch, taste, smell is running the opposite direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is why people don't walk by faith. They say, oh yeah, we're believing God. I just watch their actions and what they're doing. I know they ain't believing me. There's people all the time I could tell them, you're not going to get healed. I know it. Watch what they're doing. They aren't acting. Their actions are all based on what they see around them, touch, taste, smell, and feel. Well, that is faith. Can't do that because you can't see it. You don't feel it. You know, sometimes you just don't feel so healed. But then a person asks, I'm in this pain. This, that. No, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe I'm healed. I ain't telling you what I'm feeling.
Amen.
What I'm feeling don't matter because that's going to change.
Praise God.
And you want to talk your feeling? Don't worry about it. It'll be there in 2 weeks for you yet.
Mm-hmm.
People never tell anybody what they believe. But what did the doctor say? Hey, it's more important. Listen to what I got to say. I'm going to tell you what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor tells me what he feels, touch, taste. I'm sorry, that ain't my report. My report is what I believe. See, I believe I'm healed. That's what I believe.
Amen.
And they'll look and say, well, you do look healed. Say, I'm sorry. I'm not looking at what I see. I'm believing what I can't see, and I will have it, and you won't. People need to understand it. If you don't learn to do that, this is what happens. You can only have what the doctor can give you. You learn to do it. Don't ever feel you have to respond to a person because of what they say. No, you respond. You respond. Walk with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Most people want to hear an ugly story. They don't want to hear a good testimony. And then if they hear a good testimony, they'll tell you, you were lucky. You lucked out. Boy, I tell you what. Yeah. Well, sometimes God does something for people and sometimes he don't. You got the shield of faith.
Amen.
Never take that down. See, your shield of faith, just being around and what you're doing. Always make your confession of what you believe. That's your shield of faith. The Bible says this, so this is the way it is. Oh, it looks like I'm going under. I don't care what it looks like. Let me tell you what the Bible said.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. God's my strong tower. I done run in. Try to knock him over, buddy. We'll see if that works. That ain't happening. See, that's what you do. You don't, what you see is naturally true. But what you see, understand this, is never eternal. When you're talking all the sight, sound, and hearing and all that, you're talking about things that are not eternal. And you're magnifying the things that aren't eternal. The Word of God is eternal. When you magnify that, you have set the eternity in motion. That's the miracle realm. That's the God realm. Your shield of faith is the God realm that you're walking in. That's what you do. See, we can give testimonies to people. You out here and minister to people. You give testimony to them. What God's done to you, healed you, delivered. Amen. Don't mind if it sounds crazy. And they say, well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Say, well, I do. Let me tell you another story. Just, hey, don't go over to something else to keep them happening. They don't like it. No, you tell the miraculous. You talk the eternal.
Amen.
What's going to put people over is the eternal. Not going along with their little wimpy stories they want like everybody else. Because you know what? They want a miracle. They want one. They want one. You know? Think of that. People say, you know, well, I don't believe in that. And then they say, would you pray for me? I say, nope. They look like, no. I say, I won't pray for you for healing. You say, yeah, you don't believe that. You don't believe that stuff. Well, I'm praying for you when you help. I'm going to pray that I'm going to bind Satan over you and pray that God will open your eyes. You'd see something.
Amen.
But I'm not going to pray for you for healing.
Amen.
He said, you don't believe my stuff. I'm not going to pray for that. Why would I? It ain't going to happen to them anyhow. They just confess they don't believe that. No, tell them, I want your eyes opened. Say, if you don't believe, why do you want something you don't believe is going to work? Why would you want that? See, put people in the place where they say they are. Well, you find out. They all of a sudden get changing. Call them where they're at. But talk to them the eternal. God heals and delivers.
Amen.
And you know what? He loves you so much, he'll let you stay sick because you want to. So much he loves you. Whatever you want. Hey, you want to be sick? He'll let you that way. See, how'd you like to be healed? Or you just want to stay? See, everybody said, God's going to do something. If he wants to, he'll do it for you. No. You start teaching people. We need to come to this thing. People's lives have become what they are because of what they do. When I heard this from Kenneth Hagin said, if you don't like your life the way that it is, that's your problem. You made it that way. But you know what? I thought that was a hard saying, but he was right. He was right. So you know, I couldn't change till I came to that fact that Ed was the problem. So Ed needed to change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Here we go. We got this shield of faith. He says, with which you'll stop every fiery dart. So the devil's going to be throwing things, even when you're ministering people. He's going to be throwing things. You just keep walking by faith. He says, now, next to this, and here's what's important. He says, take these things you got to take with you, the helmet of salvation. What is a helmet, protecting a person? Protects their head. So it really protects your brain and things. In other words, you want to have the Word of God in your mind. You want to have a renewed mind. You need to have that. You need a renewed mind. If anything that people need, and this is one of the things you need to, especially reaching out to unsaved people, they need to know. If they want to come to Christ, they're going to have to be changed. It's going to require something of them. It's just not going to be just a wonderful life. If you're not willing, if you're not going to come to want to get your mind changed, because they're going to have to put on a whole new way of thinking. And it will not happen. If they're out here, they just go and go off and do whatever. It won't happen. won't take place. I find people that, especially people that have really, you know, had successful from starting off as Christians and messed up, there are people that got hooked up somewhere and said other stuff and got learning. You know, you might have somebody that, you know, but if somebody can teach you some of the basics, I mean, the person needs to get sit down and listen. It's one of the things is sitting down and listening, and you got to get people to do that. I mean, you can't teach somebody, start off somebody wants a third grade math and they haven't got first grade math and, you know, they haven't gone through. We need to understand as Christians, Christianity today, most Christians are like in first or second grade. They've never gone on beyond that because of their limit. And it's one thing, even people have to take initiative of themselves to do things. And not just expect the church to do everything for them. They got to take their own initiative. And so, but you want to get people to do that. Is to show them, talk to them about the goods. Tell people what God does in your life to people. Explain to them what He does. One of the things that made me hungry about the Word is listening to Kenneth Hagin about God moving his life. And I thought, well, I want some of that. I don't want to just God loves you, John. I just don't want just that. I want to know how He loves me, what He does. When I found out what He does, I said, man, that's love. That's a love. That's a love I can put up with.
Amen.
That's a love I can put up with. Yeah, that's a good one. It isn't, I love you and you do whatever you want. That's what most people think love is. Most Christians don't have no idea of love. Now, just be honest. You wouldn't have 50% of Christians get divorced if they knew what love was. So when you say love to the average Christian, don't even know what it is. They have no idea because they don't have it. They have it in their hearts, but that ain't where they live. They live in the realm of the natural feeling, all that kind of stuff. That's the place where they live. And that's where they're at. Untaught, untrained. And so what is their love? Is just like the world's love. If it's going good for me, then it must be love. But if it isn't, they aren't doing everything I want. Well, then love stops. They're not doing for me anymore. You know. Why do you love them? I love them because they do this for me and they do that. And oh, I really love them. What happens when they quit doing that? I don't love them anymore. But that's when, hey, I had that kind of love. That was mine. It's the kind of love I had. Yeah. We have to see that about ourselves. But he said also, what do we do? You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, you got to know the Word. See, you get that mind right, but you know what? The Word, the sword of the Spirit, is that there, that spoken Word, the things you speak. This is not, I know the Bible. No, this is the words that you speak. That's the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. The Word there is rhema, spoken Word. Spoken Word. It's what you say. A lot of Christians, this is why above all you take these things, is because this is where most Christians fail. It's because they know scriptures, but they haven't been walking in them, and they're nuts. They're speaking. Things come along and happen, and they start talking the wrong stuff. Instead of saying, well, the Bible says this, I know this looks bad, but this is what God said He'll do for us. So here's where we're going to stand. This is where we're going to park. Okay? We've done all to stand. Here we're going to stand. You know what? I'm not going to change what I'm saying about this.
Amen.
I'm not going to be moved by what I said about this. And the devil's saying, you know, you keep running down this road, you're going to find you dead along the road. What are the people in your church going to say? And you know what? I wouldn't ask him or talk to him in my terms. I wouldn't do it. I'm going to live and not die. That's what I'm going to do. But you don't know how bad I feel. Yeah, I do. You just told me. And it'll stay. Don't worry. Talking feelings don't change feelings. See, the devil kept talking to me about really about how I was feeling. And you know what? He must have known how I was feeling because I was feeling. He could tell by the way I was trying to run. I was feeling bad. But I wouldn't talk about my feelings. I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't mention it. I wouldn't say it. Word of God's true. See, and then when he ends all this about this, in verse 18, we'll stop here at this. He says, Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, this is one of the things that we need to do. This is one of the things is keeping ourselves. One thing is he's talking about praying in the Spirit. In other words, keeping yourself hooked on the Spirit side. You know, if you got something to talk about, talk to God about it. You know, you don't have to run and tell everybody else. But you get over there and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Everybody takes it. This isn't just about asking God for stuff. This is talking about God. This is about fellowshipping with God. One of the greatest things, you know, like I go out and I do some fast walking and I, you know, about every day, I go do this and I talk to God. You know, a lot of the times, and I'm just going to tell you, it's one of the biggest things you can do is just go out talking to God, telling how great and wonderful he is. Amen. You know, if anything right now it's lacking in the church is that area. Christians don't magnify God. Mm-hmm. Most of prayer life is all about getting stuff.
Yep.
And you know what? I every day I go out in the morning, I just thank him and say, Lord, I always try and say, thank you so much for giving us some government here that's been decent. That is, that God, you, and I always brag on my time. You did it. I said, it wasn't all about men's vote and this stuff. And then I said, this has been your influence brought this thing around. And I talked to him. I magnify him and magnify him. I'm going to tell you what, it charges me up. I talk to him about how good he is and he charges me up. We don't spend enough time on the areas of being thankful. That's one of the main things about a Christian life is living this thankful. Thankfulness isn't something, I'm just thankful. No, it's spoken. It's something said. If you're thankful to somebody, you know, we used to have this years ago, you know, when people did things, somebody would send somebody a note or write somebody a note and tell them how thankful, you know. See, we've lost, people called that, well, it was called etiquette. No, it isn't. It's good old Bible Christian doing the right thing.
Amen.
We've lost thankfulness. We've lost things with people and that stuff of being thankful, of being these things, of voicing things, writing things down, doing things. You know, we got this nice book that we got. Somebody wrote it down for us. But we have these things. So somebody passed it on to me about this great God I got. Hallelujah. And so we got, and do this for yourself. I'm going to tell you what, you'll find out. I don't spend a lot of time asking God for me personally. I don't need to spend much time. I can just believe I receive it like that. So we don't have to waste a bunch of time doing that kind of stuff because I ain't trying to convince him to do a good thing for him. He already convinced me he wanted to do it for me.
Amen.
So I'm not trying to do that. So I got plenty of time just to be thankful and thank him for all the things that he's doing. You know, everybody was all concerned. Minister Guy called me, you know, about this thing here. Concerned about, you know, if a war starts between Iran and Israel and United States with this. And I just told him, I said, I look on the inside and I said, all I get's a smile and comfort. I said, you know, I'm not worried about this thing. I said, you know what? God's done a good job already. I said, I think he'll be able to carry it out. You know, see, but anyway, you know what they're going to do? Well, we got to really pray because we got to control this thing. When are we going to believe God's controlling? See, people say God's in control. Well, why don't you act like it? If he's in control, then what am I praying trying to get him to do something that's in my control? I wouldn't know what to tell him about those two countries anyhow. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd just tell him, no, you're smart. You did all this and set it in motion, and Iran ain't going to rise up and change this thing. They ain't that big. You know, people are scared of Iran with a bomb. I'm going to tell you, I got a God people ought to be scared.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't mess with me. My daddy will show up.
Amen.
And get that about yourself, you know? God has a plan and he is moving in his plan. And I'll tell you what, Randall Graves Greer said this by the Spirit more than one time over the last couple of years, where the Lord said, really, in a sort of a thing to people, speaking to the church from a standpoint of, like, you know, wake up, stupid church. He said this, I'm going to move in spite of what people are doing, and I'm going to set things in motion, and nobody's going to change it.
Amen.
And we're in one of those right now. God has set some things in motion, and he's going to carry them out.
Amen.
And there's people going to have a lot of problems, are going to get Christians getting in God's way, having their ideas.
Yep.
I don't ask one. I don't. What I do is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what you're doing here, I'll pray in tongues. This way you can pray your will out because I ain't got a clue what's going on with the rest of it. I don't know. So I'm going to let you use my tongue because mine ain't fit. I don't know. I don't have enough information. I don't know. You know, I'll guarantee you this, that President Trump knows 100 times more than what I would know about it. He knows a lot more things that are going on than I know what's going on in this world. Because you can't watch the news and have a good idea of what 5% of the world's like. And I don't care who you watch. It don't matter. They're off over here in La La Land. And, you know, they are on Trump's side when it works out. And God's been using it. And I'm going to tell you what, God's given that man wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, it's God. Don't brag on Trump. There's one thing as I will say to him, he's doing some things of following God, you know. He's, you know, there's one thing about him. I mean, got to put it this way. He's not a very spiritual Christian in a lot of ways. He, you know, he can be very vulgar and several things and do stuff and such like that. But you know what? God chose him. And you need to understand this. Lots of times God can't use the people that we think are good. God can't use them because they're too disobedient because they think they're good.
Right. Amen.
You need to understand that, how God works. You know, God saved Israel through pagan kings.
Amen. Yeah.
He didn't find a good Jew boy to fix that thing up. You need to understand, the church doesn't understand. This is why we get meddling into stuff, into God's business, and we get praying, trying to move God to do something, but hey, He knows something we don't.
Amen.
So God, you didn't put me in charge. You don't want me to be president unless I'm anointed to do it. Did you ever notice how many ministers try to go into politics and then never make it? They always think they're so smart. I've seen more ministers going to run for Congress and they're going to do it and they don't make it. Well, all the time. God said I was supposed to and they don't make it. What, your God said it and it didn't work? Say, no, your flesh. You think because you know the Bible a lot, you can run a country. I learned that Brother Hagin when I first got saved. He said, you know, he said, there's Christians. You don't want them to run the country. He said, because a man's Christian, that doesn't mean he knows how to do certain things. And so we need to get over in those areas. Thank God we need help. We went a lot longer on that than I planned to, but hallelujah. Let's get over in this thing. I'll tell you what, it's like myself, you know, just spending time. I don't spend a lot like pushing into things. It's more of a meditation, feeding on the word, just I'm not trying to push to anything, but God's talking and moving.
Amen.
And it's like, we don't have to try to make things happen. God working in us can make things happen. He can. And see, what happens is you don't get yourselves over the areas. You know, you feel what you, like, I have to do this, I have to do that. What happens? It's easy to get over there. And what happens? After a while, we're trying to work and do stuff and God's not in it. We want things that God's glorified. And number one, I always think about Paul. Paul got into, you know, stuff and things, but you know, he never lost his love for the Lord. People may have did stuff and things. But Paul was always hooked to God. And you know, he prays on God, you know, I'm in this situation. This devil is bugging me. Why don't you do something about that? You know, he's just like us, you know, get over there. Why don't you do something? This devil's doing this. What about this? You ought to do something about that. And God says to him very nicely, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You see, Paul it's just like you and me. He got over there and it's like, God, you ought to do something about that. And he said, oh, see, you left grace, Paul. See, my ability is good enough to deal with this stuff. You forgot. I said, you know, when I first saw that, I thought, gee, that must have been Ed. That wasn't Paul. That was Ed. Somebody wrote, they just put the name in Paul. They were trying to save me on that one. No, that was Ed said that. That was God's response to Ed. My grace is sufficient, Ed. Sit down, shut up. You know what to do. You've done all. Stand.
Amen.
Say, Paul, it's a working. Do you know every time they did something, that man, the gospel went further? The devil messed up big time. Every time the devil messed with him, the gospel went further. Paul wasn't even heading for Rome. God took him there and took him to Rome. The devil tried to kill him on the way in a shipwreck. All the things the devil did. God took the... He didn't go out here. He didn't try to do some political thing to get to Rome. He got to Rome and ended up getting the Praetorian Guard saved. The Bible says so. The Praetorian Guard, they were the personal guards of Caesar. He got in right into Caesar's house. The gospel, he got it into. People today do all kind of things to try to get things into. Paul never tried to go to Rome. Man hauled him off. Hallelujah. How far can he take you? Hey, could he? Now think, Paul wasn't connected politically and he wasn't done that. You don't have to be connected to only one thing. Could he take any of us? Yeah, he could. He might take you to a king's house where you get in some country, you end up right in the king's house. That's why. Be led by the Spirit. Sometimes it don't look, it naturally looks like the wrong thing to do, but God's moving that way.
Yes.
Paul went and used his thing as a Roman citizen when he went on trial and said, I'm pleading my case before Rome. So they had to send him to Rome. I don't know if Paul knew exactly why he did that. But it became the salvation of Rome. The gospel went to Rome and eventually became the downfall of the empire. Amazing. And who was Paul? He was just a guy following God. He's just doing God's will. God wanted him to do. Why not you?
Amen.
See, when people do the will of God, there's no telling the destiny that he might set to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, and that's what we want to be. As we tell people, do you want to live a miraculous life or you just want to live a regular life like everybody else? Why not live a miraculous one? Why not live one full of glory? So you want to do that? Come on. Hey, say there's it's work over here to do it, but hey, you go over and have natural things or you have these glorious things. Which do you want? Do you want the miraculous or is that just okay? I never got a miracle of doctor. I never got one. I'm not against doctors, but I never got a miracle of God. I got miracles from God.
Amen.
He's the one that does the miracles.
Amen.
Thank God for what men do. But I tell you what, I like a miracle every now and then to testify the glory of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you. Lord God, your word is good. And it's glorious and it's the most phenomenal thing. And I thank you, Father God, that you're going to use us in absolutely miraculous, wonderful ways to bring your will and your purpose to pass. Lord Jesus, just like when you came and you started your ministry just wasn't some nice little natural thing out here. Surely you never called us to any such thing. You called us. You told us in the name of Jesus, we cast out demons. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you told us we'd lay hands on the sick. We drink any deadly thing, it ain't going to hurt us. Lord Jesus, these miraculous things, Lord, these signs that follow, they follow the word. I thank you. We're going to stay with the word and those things will follow us. We're not going to fear worry. Lord God, we're called to the miraculous. And Lord God, it will become the norm among us. It will become the norm among us, Lord God. Hallelujah. That men would see the living God through our hands and through our words. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.